This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. And your number is 877-217-5757. And talk at talklouisiana.org is our email address. We begin with State Representative C. Denise Marcel. Clara Denise, correct?
Okay. So you're letting out secrets, Jim. Yes,
well,
that's
you,
correct.
You are running for mayor, and I guess that makes you an open book. And you did file your taxes in order to be a candidate. Okay. 877-217-5757 is your number. She is opposing the incumbent, Sharon Weston Broom. Actually ran in the election of 2016, but she's back with a vengeance and looking lean and mean on the campaign trail. I like it when people get in shape, and you're obviously you're ready to run. Literally,
I'm literally ready to run. Correct.
Down how many pounds?
Down 13 pounds.
13 pounds, and going against an incumbent who is the favorite, as incumbents generally are, and you are, like the mayor, a Democrat, and like the mayor, an African American female. Why do you think she needs to go?
Well, you know, Jim, for me, it's more about giving the people the options that they're asking for. As I told you guys before, many people came to me and asked me to run. They didn't see the city going in the direction that they thought it should be going in, the high crime. Many of the infrastructure issues that we face are still there. And we didn't, even though I realized there were a lot of issues that came up during her tenure, we just didn't see enough movement, and people asked me to run. I just didn't wake up and decide I'm going to run against the mayor. I know you said it's with a vengeance, but I really, you know, prayed about it, listened to people who came to me and said, I think that you can do a better job. And I'm running because I feel like I can do a better job, and the people feel like I can do a job, at least a portion of the people in this parish.
Okay. It's mentioned talk at talklouisiana.org if you'd like to send an email to C. Denise Marcel, candidate for mayor. And this is Buddy in Broadmoor asking about Tara Wicker, who, of course, was removed from the ballot because of the tax issue. What are your thoughts about, obviously, there were some efforts to get her off the ballot that were successful. Were you satisfied with the resolution?
I really was not. I thought that Tara should have been afforded the right to run for mayor. I was a little confused because Tara said that she had gotten a return. You don't get a return on your taxes if you owed taxes in the previous years. It's not been my experience. I don't know if she did not put that information on properly at the first hearing, if she didn't introduce the evidence. She says that she had it. It seemed a little sketchy to me, but, I mean, the fact of the matter is the courts ruled her off of out of the race. But I really looked forward to Tara being in the race.
Well, it's one less African-American female Democrat in the race. Some people believe that helps you because now there are fewer on one side of the spectrum than the other, and after all, this is probably going to a runoff, probably, and you have a base that may be enough, and you, of course, may get more votes this time than you did last. That's the plan, I'm sure.
Certainly the plan.
Well, that would put you in a runoff with the mayor, which would be very interesting, and it would be unprecedented in Baton Rouge.
Correct. And, you know, I see it that way myself because of the lineup. I think at the end of the day, it's going to be a runoff between me and the mayor.
All right. And what are the major issues?
The major issues for me is crime and infrastructure. It has to be. This city is the numbers are just going crazy with the crime, and I think we got to address that. I think regardless of what side of town you're on, that's what people are concerned about. I'm walking. I'm knocking on doors. Everywhere I go.
Even in this environment, you're knocking on doors.
Even in this environment, and primarily what I had been doing in the past was, you know, canvassing neighborhoods and sticking cards in the doors. But as you're moving around, some people are going to be outside. So if I see someone outside, guess what? I talk to them.
Okay.
What are you laughing at, Jim?
You're wearing a Saints T-shirt, which is fine, but you are running for mayor of Baton Rouge. It looks good on you, but the season, of course, starts Sunday with Tom Brady and
Drew Brees. I'm so ready.
So
you know
you're going to be there, right, getting campaign
yes,
for votes.
This is my Saints T-shirt, and I wanted to be reminded that at one time I followed them everywhere, so I went to London when they played in London.
I was trying to read that. It says London to from the Big Easy Saints, London to Big Ben. Okay, I get it. I get it. So C. Denise Marcel is a proud supporter of the New Orleans Saints, as many in Baton Rouge are. And the Saints open their season. And congratulations, by the way, to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, pride of LSU in Baton Rouge, opened his NFL career last night. 25 carries, 138 yards, and leading Kansas City, the defending champions, to a 34-20 victory over Houston. So there we go. But C. Denise Marcel, we've got football, and in the old days, candidates would be out at Tiger Stadium and out at Mumford Stadium campaigning. I suspect that may be a bit different now, too.
It's absolutely going to be different. As I said to you earlier, I've really been just kind of canvassing areas, putting my carts indoors, the push carts. And when I run into someone that's outside of their homes, and I'm talking to them. And so it is quite different. We've been hosting giveaways for COVID all over the town. And so people are coming out to do those. So they've been drive-throughs. I've done COVID testing. I've partnered with other people to do those. So my campaigning has been quite different.
All right. Again, 877-217-5757 for C. Denise Marcel. And talk at talklouisiana.org. Amber Mason sends this question. What are your specific ways to reduce crime?
Well, I think when you talk about crime, you've got to look at the underlying issues that cause crime. And certainly those are poverty and education. Although the mayor's office don't do directly work with education, I think there's opportunities to do things to change the spectrum. And some of those things, actually, I'm putting into work right now as a state rep. And those are tutoring programs, summer program. I've done those as a state representative. So you've got to change the education and the poverty level. So you must give people jobs, right, and a fair wage in order to get them, lift them out of poverty. And it's a direct relation between those issues and crime. There are systemic issues. There are, and I know my friend is here to talk about the racial divide. There is a real issue in this, not only this city, but in the state, with the racial divide and the economics in this city. And so we've got to address those underlying issues in order to address the crime. You've got to change. You've got to educate people. And I know you probably want to ask me another question.
Well, yeah, and another listener, obviously, who listens to our program, and I'm glad this remembers back when you were debating Alfred Williams. That's been a little while ago.
Yeah, it has.
The subject of crime came up, and you talked about how you were a victim in the most personal of ways to violent crime. So you speak from experience.
Absolutely. And, you know, right now I've been tasked with being on the commission appointed by the House of Representatives, Speaker Shake Snyder, about specialty courts, and we're having $50 million, and how do we address people with drug addictions and alcoholism, and how do we get to the bottom line of that? One of the things that blocks a lot of people out of those programs is when they deem it a violent crime, right? And so how do you actually help people that have committed a crime like the one that where I was stabbed by my former husband who had a drinking problem? How do you help him if you block him out of the program? How do we expand that? I currently sit on that commission. Actually, we met yesterday. It's a long commission with a bunch of judges. And I'm telling you, Jim, I don't know about that. I'm the only legislator on there, and it's quite interesting. But those are the types of things that we're working on, and we have to work on, figure out how do you get people the help that they really need, whether that's mental health or substance abuse. Most of these crimes, if you can relate back to it, what the systemic causes are, it's one of those. It's either poverty, it's drug addiction, it's mental health. And so when we address those issues, then we can address the problem.
But this man almost killed you.
Absolutely. And guess what? I wanted him to get some help. And you know what, Jim?
Is he out of jail?
He got out of jail. And because the judge did not do what the victim, that's me, asked them to do, which was, please get this person some help. When they're not drinking, they're not that person. And I believe that if he would have gotten some help, then, you know, that would not have happened again. But as a result, he went to jail, did the time, came out, and guess what happened to him? He died an alcoholic and fell, hit his head, died from drinking. The same thing that I asked him to do. So when you put somebody in jail, instead of just locking them up, you need to treat them so that they don't come out the same way. That's why our recidivism rates are so high in Louisiana, because we don't treat the criminal or the person, the convicted person.
We'll return in 90 seconds with more from C. Denise Marcel. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for the 9/11 version of Talk Louisiana. And let us not forget the 2,996 people who died. That includes 19 hijackers, but 2,977 people died on this date 19 years ago senselessly in four attacks on America that were in quick succession and left an indelible mark on the American soul. We'll be talking about that, I'm sure, for years to come. And next year, of course, will be year 20. And who will be the president of the United States for the 20th anniversary of 9/11? We'll be talking about that as well with Morgan Lemondre and Elizabeth Dent. But we have another segment with C. Denise Marcel, 877-217-5757, if you'd like to join the conversation. She is a Metro Council person of 7 years and now a state representative and is seeking the mayorship of East Baton Rouge Parish. Daniel in South Baton Rouge. Daniel, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. I have two questions real quick. Number one, what's your opinion about the contract? Most of the city parish works are being contracted out.
All right. We only get one question per customer, but Daniel, what about contracts? C. Denise Marcel. Thank you.
So depending on the department that you're looking at, I know there's been a lot of talk about contracting out the permit office because of so many issues in that department. Well, first of all, I look at all of the departments. I believe that it's better when we keep the things in-house. I've seen them outsource things when I was on the Metro Council, such as cleaning over to the new courthouse. And I don't believe that they're doing any better job than the city parish workers were doing. I believe if we increase the wages and give people a fair wages in the city parish government, then we don't stress them out and have them working two jobs. So I believe basically overall it's better to keep in-house workers. But there are some instances where I think some things need to be outsourced.
Lawyers for Alton Sterling's five children say the East Baton Rouge Parish Metro Council has no clue about the issues at stake in the lawsuit against the city parish following Sterling's death. And this is the front page story in The Advocate today from Blake Patterson. The council voted in a split decision to reject a proposal of $5 million in a wrongful death lawsuit filed on behalf of Sterling's children who lost their father to a 2016 police shooting that ignited protests here and across the country. Your thoughts about the action of the Metro Council or the lack of action?
Well, first of all, I think it's gone on way far too long. I don't believe that it should have taken this long to get to a resolution. I think that the lawyers and the Metro Council members certainly have to have a conversation on what those issues are. And I realize that being in court and some of the issues that the lawyers may not be able to say at a Metro Council meeting, that they need to relate those issues to those council members. Having said that, I don't necessarily know why they would not have settled it. Even if you're saying, if you're a Metro Council member and you're saying that, okay, I don't believe it should be $5 million, then what do you believe it should be? Because it should be something, because that has to be resolved. In order for us to move on in this city, that is an issue that has to be resolved, period.
But as you know, there are people in this city who don't believe that the family doesn't deserve a dime. They believe that Blake Salamone acted appropriately. Now, when you look at that videotape, It's crazy to think that, and I'm saying that.
It is absolutely crazy to think that.
But there are people who believe it.
And you know, it's shameful that they would, because if it was their child or someone that they knew, then they would not think the same way. And that's where we go with the racial divide, right? I don't care what it was, unless he was pointing and shooting a gun at the police, the way that, that they escalated that, and that'll certainly be another part of...
When you say
of,
they, though, I'm going to defend the other officer, well, too. I don't think he did anything wrong.
He didn't do it, but he should have acted. He should have acted to stop the officer from doing what he did.
This happened in less than a minute. You know it, He didn't pull his gun, and Salamone did.
And
he was defusing the situation when Salamone came and was all amped up and blew it up.
Correct.
And I don't think Howie Lake got a fair deal either, but that's just me.
Right. I understand that, and I could live with that. But at the same time, Alton Sterling lost his life. He lost his life because the situation was escalated, and it was escalated by Salamone. I agree with that. The question becomes, what is the value of someone's life, and what should we be paying as a city? What we should be doing is making sure that we weed out people who would have these type of acts. Well, we wouldn't be paying all this money. If we were to do that, we would certainly have more money to pay the policemen who are...
All right.
More percentage of them doing a much better job than that. And there are a lot of police officers who feel like this case needs to be settled.
It would be good to get it behind us. We're never going to get it totally behind, but this would be a step. Let's go to Bill downtown. Bill, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
As a taxpayer, do I want justice or do I want to save, some money? And I guess, then what's the question? What's justice? And in this case, we had a criminal doing a criminal act. He resisted arrest. And I don't understand why I would want to pay $5 million if justice can be served by having a court case.
And when you say having a court case, I mean, I'm trying to figure out what that looks like. I believe that, first of all, we're deeming him as a criminal. Because you are a criminal does not mean that you should be killed. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we differentiate in this situation. Regardless of whatever his criminal record was, it does not deem that he should have been killed. And so there is a dollar amount that is attached to that because the officer was acting in the course and scope of his job. And we, as taxpayers, are supposed to indemnify that. And that's where the issue is. It's not about what his record was. It's about, did he act in a manner that was he should have been in the course and scope of his duties? And well, should we? And the law says we should indemnify it, period.
Another part of the... matter is, well, should he have ever been on the force? Because that may be the biggest matter of all. Does Representative Marcel believe, this is a question from a listener, that her candidacy will split the African-American community?
No, I don't think so. I don't know how it would split the African-American community. We're the same two people who ran the last time. I don't know what's supposed to be so different about this time, other than there are fewer candidates in this race. I don't know. I wasn't too good in math, Jim, but I was, pretty efficient to know that 7 people in a race versus 12 people the last time is a different number. It's 5 less people in the race. It's the same 2 Black African-American women in the race. And then there's 5 others in the race.
All right. Another listener, this is Diana, noting that you sponsored a tolerance measure, actually a law that would have been on the books. Is this something that you will push as mayor?
Absolutely. If she's referring to non-discrimination for anyone in the workplace, regardless of your sexuality, I believe that we shouldn't discriminate against anybody based upon anything. I cannot push my beliefs off on you, and you shouldn't push your beliefs off on me. I don't think that's government's role, and I certainly would support that. I mean, as a mayor, you don't get to put those on the agenda. So you would have to have a council member to put that on the agenda. The question is, would I support it? Yes, absolutely would.
And we're heading down the home stretch with C. Denise Marcel running for mayor. 53 shopping days away. The COVID era has changed everything. There are some debates, one coming very, very soon, September 15th, and another October 5th that will be sponsored by the Baton Rouge Press Club. Do you think at this time these kinds of events maybe mean more than ever before?
I do. I would really like to see, I don't have a problem with the debates. I just think that more groups need to come together so we can have less interactions because of COVID, right? And do it, collectively so that we don't have 15 debates going on saying the same thing with the same people in the room. Because typically when we go to these debates, it's us and our camp.
All right. We're going to spend a few more minutes with C. Denise Marcel after this pause. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. In just a few moments, we'll hear from Morgan LaMondre and Elizabeth Dent, and they square off on their opposite choices in the presidential election and the importance of the female vote on what happens November 3rd between Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. and Donald John Trump. A few more minutes with C. Denise Marcel, candidate for mayor. Let's go to, Charlotte and Iberia Parish. Charlotte, good morning. You are on Talk Louisiana. Good morning, Charlotte.
Good morning. My question is, when and for whom does the innocent until proven guilty apply? Thank you. Bye.
I'm sorry, Charlotte?
I didn't understand
when it.
The innocent. I didn't understand it.
I did not, but... Anyway, I think it was related to the Sterling case, and it's 4 years later, and we're still talking about this, which is something in and of itself. When will we get past this?
I believe that, like you said, I think it's going to be something that we deal with for a while. I just believe that selling the case would give some closure to the family. I believe that that would happen, and I think she said something about the innocent. But I couldn't quite hear her question.
We do have a few more minutes with Representative Marcel, so if you can call back, we will certainly try to clear up our misunderstanding of what you said. Let's go to HB in Denham Springs. HB, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, HB.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Marcel, after 50 years of experience in law enforcement, I've found out one thing's for sure. You talk a lot about mental health and alcoholism being the contributing factors to crime.
And poverty.
You cannot help anybody that does not want help, even when they're court ordered to get that help. Thank you.
All right. Your thoughts?
Well, I certainly believe that there are other ways to address the crime and the mental health issues. There are known real mental health hospitals. Once Earl K. Long was closed down, I think we saw the effects of that, where many people were going in, getting their medicine. A lot of times when people get back on their meds, they do a lot better. I've dealt with it a lot in my council district. I guess we'll agree to disagree on that issue.
Well, we look forward to staying in touch, and good luck to you and all the candidates on the trail. And
you know what, Jim, I want to thank you for inviting me here and ask everyone to certainly support my candidacy and go to marcelformayor.com to follow me. And I want to thank let you guys know that I'll be bringing William Daniels back as my CAO. Yes, the chief administrative
officer. All right,
officer.
Yeah, he's doing a commercial for you right now.
He did a commercial for me. He's in full support of me. I think he did a wonderful job leading the city, and I certainly look forward to bringing Mr. William Daniels back into the mayor's office to help me run this city.
All right, here's Charlotte again. Charlotte, I think we may be able to get some clarification from you. What exactly were you asking, Representative Marcel?
I was asking... And it was a follow-up to a caller who had said something about the Sterling case earlier, calling him a criminal. And so my question was, for whom and when does innocent until proven guilty apply?
All right. Well,
it certainly should apply to everyone. I agree with you, Charlotte. Because you're accused of something does not make you guilty of it. I get your point. I agree with you. You are innocent. And a lot of times people don't look at it like that. If you're accused of something, they figure you're a criminal. Or if someone made that call, and we've never really got the clarification on who made the call, that he pointed a gun at them. And that was the onset. And I think community policing would have helped that if we'd had an officer come out who would have known him, because he's on the corner all the time. So I think those are some issues that we certainly need to look at. And thank you for your question, Charlotte.
All right. Thanks for calling back, Charlotte.